The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Derek Frost from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from the Triangle Business Journal. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties. With its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. And we start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with the cover story headline, "Put us in, coach. Raleigh's home run bid for MLB team is nothing short of a long shot." And the cover story begins inside the Triangle Business Journal with the second headline, "Inside Raleigh's MLB bid. Raleigh faces off against Nashville, Charlotte, and MLB hopes." And this is written by Lauren Onasorge. The effort that landed the Washington Nationals in D.C. started with a grassroots movement that by many accounts was a long shot. Now, two decades later, it's brought a city together. It's hard to quantify, but I would say for sure that everybody here would acknowledge that baseball has been a unifier, said Gregory McCarthy, a senior vice president with the Nationals. Baseball is something that can unite a city, socially and spiritually. Organizers of Raleigh's nascent effort to score a Major League Baseball team are hoping that will happen here, but while it's the early innings, experts say Raleigh's quest for a team faces major hurdles and competition, particularly from Nashville, Tennessee, where the recruitment effort recently signed a deal with a real estate developer. North Carolina has been a long shot for professional sports before, all the way back to when George Shinn won a National Basketball Association franchise for Charlotte in 1987, and the National Football League picked Charlotte and owner Jerry Richardson in 1993, despite stiff competition from markets with rich NFL histories, such as those of St. Louis and Baltimore. And in 1997, the Hartford Whalers announced they would leave the Northeast for Raleigh, a growing city, but one with no historical ties to the sport. Sellout crowds of 18,795 now greet the Carolina Hurricanes for home games, an impressive show of support for professional sports in a market more historically connected to college athletics. North Carolina, with 11 million residents, is easily the largest state without an MLB team. Its growing affluent population is exactly the sort of target audience where professional sports thrive, and the market's two minor league franchises, the Durham Bulls and Carolina Mudcats, are popular, but the hurdles remain significant. There's no known plan for a stadium and a dearth of major companies in the market. Those are significant points in a sport where costs have skyrocketed. When the Baltimore Orioles were sold in 2024, the price was a staggering $1.725 billion. Why not Raleigh? The formal movement to lure an MLB team to Raleigh started with a pair of former IBMers more than 6 years ago at Tyler's Tap Room in Seaboard Station. Lou Pascucci and Ryan Foose had watched MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred outline plans to expand by adding two teams. When pressed in an interview about target markets, Manfred had mentioned Nashville, Charlotte, Las Vegas, and Portland, Oregon. "He was just rattling them off," Pascucci said. "It's the next day. I was talking to Ryan and saying, you know, it's crazy they don't even mention Raleigh. It's crazy that everything is Charlotte in North Carolina." The campaign started with a lament over beers. Why not Raleigh? A few statistical dives later, and it became a serious question as they learned that, yes, Raleigh really was bigger than some existing MLB markets. Their research found the Triangle television market is larger than those of St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, San Diego, Kansas City, and Milwaukee, all home to established MLB teams. "We said, this is insane," Pascucci said. "If people knew this, people would rally behind the idea of us being mentioned in this group of potential expansion cities." Almost on a whim, they put their marketing chops to use, creating a logo, starting a social media campaign, and publishing a website with the help of another NC State University alum, Will Gadd. They sold merchandise and donated more than $30,000 from the proceeds to area nonprofits such as the Boys and Girls Club. "It was all about getting the word out," Pascucci said. "The theory was that the media would catch on, then the government, and then perhaps a backer. All combined, that created an avalanche that would force Raleigh into the conversation." That's what happened, starting with an article on the effort in Forbes magazine. Then came outreach from Governor Roy Cooper's administration, but the effort needed money. That was where Hurricanes owner Tom Dundon came in, connected to Pascucci through Cooper's former budget director, Charlie Peruse. In 2023, Pasucci's group met with Dundon at what is now the Lenovo Center for the first of multiple meetings. Pasucci said he saw Dundon was serious and the group had answers for Dundon, from market size to existing sports interest. Dundon went public with his intention to bring an expansion franchise to North Carolina that same year. And while he's officially open to other locales across the state, he's made it clear that he'd prefer to put the team in Raleigh. Pasucci believes the goal of Dundon's effort is to be ready to pounce when an opportunity for MLB presents itself. But while Pasucci's hopes were invigorated by Dundon, Raleigh's shot appeared mostly hopeless to the experts from the get-go, even with a billionaire in the mix. The long shot. Manfred has said the league wants to expand from 30 to 32 teams, and the location is to be decided by the time he retires in 2029. He expects one new franchise in the Eastern time zone. Jonathan Casper, associate professor and sports expert at NC State University, said Raleigh has an obvious challenge: lack of Fortune 500 headquarters. There are 81 home games per season, he said. That's a lot of games, and that's a lot of tickets that need to be sold, and because of that, there's a reliance on corporate sponsorships. But Doug Worf, president of the Carolina Hurricanes, said the hockey team has demonstrated that corporate support exists in a market the size of Raleigh. We've proven you can make it work with more entrepreneurial-sized companies and growth companies, Worf said. We just need to make that case in the MLB side as well. An MLB team might find itself in competition with Dundon's own Hurricanes for those luxury box sponsors, Casper noted. He said a winning bid needs more than statistics. Raleigh needs to prove it can make a better case than the competition. That likely means beating Nashville, the overwhelming favorite, said Mike Edwards, associate professor of sports management at NC State University. Nashville has five Fortune 500 companies based in its market compared to three for the Triangle, although LabCorp is close by in Burlington. If MLB picks Nashville, it puts both Charlotte and Raleigh out of the conversation, Edwards said. It's similar to Raleigh's failed efforts to get Major League Soccer, hopes that were dashed when billionaire David Tepper landed a franchise for Charlotte instead. John Lear, managing director of Music City Baseball, the Nashville group trying to secure a team, said his effort is trying to build a vision that reflects the city's explosive growth and unique appeal as an international hub for music, sports, and entertainment. These are the ingredients we believe are critical to long-term success for an MLB franchise, he said in an email. Yes, Raleigh has grassroots efforts, but Edwards, a former baseball executive, said it will take more to get the MLB to look away from Nashville's vision. The billionaire. What could get MLB's attention to focus on Raleigh are two things: a billionaire owner who wants to step in and own the franchise, and a stadium deal, Edwards said. Dundon has said it will take public dollars to make that second piece work. As of now, there is no clear public push to build and fund a stadium in Raleigh. You can get a public-private partnership to build a great stadium, and I think the people would support it, Dundon said last year. The revenues would do really well here, and we could sell tickets and sponsorships to be of value to Major League Baseball. While Nashville doesn't have a billionaire, its plans are more developed. Music City Baseball recently hired a developer to secure land for a potential stadium-anchored mixed-use project, though its mayor has expressed reservations about publicly funding a stadium amid competing priorities. In Raleigh, Dundon may have his hands full right now with a mixed-use project surrounding the Canes home at the Lenovo Center. While he has gone public with his interest in an MLB position, he has not yet signed any kind of commitment and no stadium plan has been outlined. If Tom Dundon comes in and says, I'm going to own this team and here's our stadium, then absolutely, I think Raleigh would be right there, Edwards said. And there's always the possibility that investors could outright purchase a team, such as the Tampa Bay Rays, whose owner, Stu Sternberg, announced earlier this year would not be moving forward with its own 2028 stadium plans. It is nice to have. Is it nice to have? Absolutely, but we don't have the same need for baseball that we had 20 years ago. Jason Mathis, CEO of the St. Petersburg Downtown Partnership, recently told the Tampa Bay Business Journal. MLB watchers say it's all a moving target, and that's really what it's always been. Success requires scrappiness, determination, and scrupulous planning. 2 decades ago, the Nationals' McCarthy was working for the mayor's office in Washington, D.C., when the effort to secure what would become the Washington Nationals finally succeeded. Now an executive with the Nationals organization, he said his city's first bid fell completely flat, yet Washington still made it happen years later by tweaking the plan and coming back swinging. McCarthy credits political unity. It wasn't a slam dunk, and it did require a lot of debate and public scrutiny, but our political leadership was mostly united, he said. And I think baseball was impressed by the comprehensive plan that political leadership put forward. They wanted to know plans for a stadium, but also, how are you going to get the roads and the traffic and the parking figured out, he said. His advice to Raleigh is to think about the effort as an investment, and it's paid off for D.C., he said, particularly amid a downed office environment and the federal funding squeeze his metro is experiencing. Our city has shifted, McCarthy said. We are now really embracing sports and entertainment, and many people have said, thank God we made this investment 20 years ago, because now Nationals Park is able to fill that hole. It's unclear what kind of public support Raleigh would have. Governor Josh Stein told TBJ he has spoken with Dundon about the possibilities and is in favor of MLB in the city. Janet Cowell, mayor of Raleigh, said she's excited about the possibility, too, and that the city is strategizing on coming up with the resources to be able to be a credible host city for a major league ball team. But it will take dollars, not just sentiment. And there are no stadium designs drawn up yet, Cowell said. As for Pasucci, he maintains that Raleigh has a lot of elements Nashville just doesn't have that could set it apart from the competition. Both Raleigh's population and its media market top those of Nashville, he said. But one of the biggest differentiators to Pasucci is in the potential ownership. Nashville doesn't have a Tom Dundon, he said. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by Dane Huffman. Downtown Raleigh UPS hotel offerings. Addition of hotels near Convention Center is key to attracting larger events. Downtown Raleigh's long lack of appealing hotel space is rapidly changing, with more hotels coming and the Omni Hotel even adding rooms to its plans. And excuse me, that headline was Downtown Raleigh Ups hotel offerings. Loden Development recently announced a warehouse district project with a 170-room hotel with a rooftop bar, and the Holiday Inn on Hillsborough Street will become a Hotel Indigo in 2026. Dennis Edwards, CEO of the Greater Raleigh Convention and Visitors Bureau, said Omni now plans to go from 553 rooms to 600, a show of confidence in the market. The original plan was for 27 stories, but Edwards said adding rooms could mean the hotel rises a couple of additional floors. They did a lot of homework, he said. That tells us that what we know is definitely resonating on a national level. Edwards pointed to the large number of events, including youth sporting events, as one of the key demand generators for hotels. And he also said the plans for the expansion of the convention center, revamped Red Hat Amphitheater, and the rise of Dick's Park also bode well for hotels. Raleigh has had more storied hotels in the past, but the iconic Yarborough Hotel on Fayetteville Street burned to the ground in 1928, and the Sir Walter Hotel, built in 1924 and once a center of Raleigh's social scene, was converted to senior apartments. The rise in hotels is significant in that Edwards said major events at convention centers seek hotels within walking distance. Raleigh currently has 5 hotels and 1,189 rooms that fit that criteria, a number that will jump to 1,789 when the Omni opens, which he now expects to be sometime in 2028. That really puts us in position to get larger conventions and 2 conventions simultaneously, he said. That's going to change things dramatically. SaaS picks CFO with IPO clout, Red Hat tenure. SaaS has chosen a seasoned executive with experience taking companies public to be its new finance chief. The Cary technology giant named Matt Parson, executive vice president and chief financial officer. He replaces David Davis, who is retiring. Parsons joins the company from ExtraHop, a cybersecurity company based in Seattle, where he'd been CFO since 2022. Previously in his career, Parsons spent 12 years at Raleigh-based Red Hat. He also had a stint as CFO at Paymentus, which went public in 2021 under his guidance. Mexanese Eatery opens first NC spot in Raleigh. Asian-Mexican fusion restaurant Wong's Tacos has opened in Raleigh's Glen Lake development. It's the eatery's first spot in North Carolina. It's a concept from Eat Restaurant Partners, a Richmond, Virginia-based restaurant group helmed by founder Chris Hsu. The concept for Wong's Tacos, internally dubbed Mexanese, resulted in Asian ingredients wrapped in Mexican style. Wong's Tacos serves lunch and dinner 7 days a week and features chorizo egg rolls and chili lime chicken tacos. Triangle Art Projects vie for best in the world. Here at Biz, we always knew the Triangle was hip, but a few places in the area recently got their chance to help prove it and get that message out to the rest of the world. CODA Works, a Madison, Wisconsin-based arts organization billed as a hub for the commissioned art world, had a contest to vote for the best public art across the globe. Seven projects in North Carolina were among the top 100 projects vying for its CODA Award, four of which are in the Triangle. The local projects are Attune and Abstraction Noose River in Raleigh, Liel Follet in Cary, and the Durham Parking Garage, Nature is the Through Line, in Durham. The other North Carolina art projects are State of Flow in Huntersville, Corius in Greensboro, and Restless Sea, Restless Sky in Charlotte. Voting began June 25 and closed July 11. Final votes will now be tallied with the winner to be named soon. And finally, gluten-free chicken, a hit in Raleigh. One of Ashley Christensen's popular restaurants is going gluten-free on its fried chicken. Beasley's Chicken and Honey in downtown Raleigh switched to a new recipe July 3rd that uses rice flour instead of all-purpose flour to create the crunch. Christensen said a pop-up event to try out the new dish brought a line out the door with an hour-plus wait. The overwhelming response confirmed our plans to move forward with changing our recipe, she said. To me, it's even more delicious than the original, and it can be enjoyed by more people, so it's a no-brainer. The restaurant will have five of its six fryers to be gluten-free as well. And now we turn to the top stories in the Triangle Business Journal. The first one written by David Pertell. Merck acquires Raleigh Pharma firm for $10 billion. Verona Pharma developed Otuvre, a novel inhaled COPD treatment. Pharmaceutical giant Merck is acquiring a public company in Raleigh in a $10 billion deal. The New Jersey-based firm, through a subsidiary, is buying Verona Pharma, which has seen its market cap soar to above $8 billion since the launch of its lead drug, Otuvre, an inhaled treatment for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD. The company's stock closed above $86 July 8, up more than 400% over the past year. Merck said it will buy out Verona Pharma for $107 per American Depositary Share, or ADS, each of which represents eight Verona Pharma ordinary shares for a total transaction value of approximately $10 billion. The boards of both companies have approved the deal, which is expected to close in the fourth quarter of this year, subject to regulatory approval. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved Otuvre in June 2024. Verona reported net product sales in the first quarter of $71.3 million, nearly double the previous quarter's total. The number of Otuvre prescriptions filed in the first quarter grew to about 25,000, while the company, which has offices in London, also saw a 25% increase in the number of new patients starting treatment. At the end of 2024, Verona had more than 200 employees. The company was founded in 2005. Otuvre is the first novel inhaled mechanism for the treatment of COPD in more than 20 years, according to Verona. CEO David Zaccardelli said the deal with Merck represents the culmination of years of focus and determination by the Verona Pharma team advancing Otuvre. Merck, which did $64 billion in revenue in 2024, earlier this year, opened a 225,000-square-foot vaccine manufacturing facility in Durham as part of a $1 billion expansion in North Carolina. Duke dominates for faculty salaries. School also ranks highest in Triangle for non-instructional staff pay. That's the headline on our next article written by Zach Izzone. The Triangle's main research institutions were three of only six universities in North Carolina to pay instructional staff an average salary above $100,000. Duke University, UNC Chapel Hill, and NC State had the highest average salaries per instructional staff of all North Carolina institutions during the 2023-24 academic year, according to a Business Journal analysis of the U.S. Department of Education data for public and private universities and community colleges. Of the top 10 highest paying schools in the state, six are private. Duke, a private school, had the highest average salary in the state at $171,486, above UNC at $141,657, and NC State at $121,140. They were followed by Davidson College, $114,244, Wake Forest University, $111,316, and UNC Charlotte, $103,864. These salary and employee figures are the most recent data available from the U.S. Department of Education. The data does not reflect moves colleges and universities have made in recent months to reduce expenses through hiring freezes and staff reductions amid federal funding cuts. During the 2023-24 academic year, Duke spent about $255 million on salaries for instructional staff, ahead of UNC, $224 million, and NC State, $231 million. This is despite Duke having fewer instructional staff at 1,485 compared to 1,726 at UNC and 1,911 at NC State. Duke's average salary was up from $141,471 in the 2018-2019 academic year, when UNC's average pay was $125,344 and NC State's was $107,193. NC State saw about a 9% increase in the total number of instructional staff between the 2018-19 and 2023-24 academic years, from 1,753 to 1,911. Meanwhile, Duke and UNC saw their numbers increase by about 5.3% and 4.7%, respectively. Duke also reported the highest average salary per non-instructional staff in 2023 to 24 at $83,083, above UNC, $75,586, and NC State, $73,083. This represented an increase for all three schools, which had average salaries in the 60 thousands of dollars during the 2018 to 2019 academic year. On the opposite end, William Peace, $58,967, St. Augustine's, $57,614, and Shaw University, $50,529 in Raleigh, recorded the lowest average salaries for instructional staff. More housing on tap for Rest Raleigh. This is written by Kaylee Thompson. A New York developer is moving ahead with plans for a new residential development in West Raleigh. KDM Development has acquired land along Corporate Center Drive for its 233-unit apartment complex. The sale price was $8 million for the 22-acre site adjacent to golf and entertainment spot Drive Shack, according to Wake County Deed Records. The price comes to about $320,000 per acre. The company had planned on starting construction in early 2024, but it is still working through the permitting process with the city. Some infrastructure permits are ready to be issued, according to Raleigh's permitting portal. Project could create 500 jobs in small town. This article is written by Ben Tobin. A new industrial park that could bring hundreds of jobs to a small town north of Durham officially has the green light. Butner Town Council in Granville County has voted to approve annexation and rezoning for the Falls Lake Industrial Park development on 157 acres off Interstate 85 Service Road. The project is led by Charlotte-based real estate firm Trinity Capital Advisors. Plans call for five speculative industrial buildings totaling about 1.1 million square feet of space. It would add to the region's supply of industrial and warehouse space, a sector that continues to see high demand as new space is delivered. And our last top news story is written by Kaylee Thompson. No new Triangle office space until 2029, report says. Vacancy rose to nearly 19% in the second quarter, according to JLL. No new office buildings will deliver in the Triangle until at least 2029, according to a market report from JLL. The slowdown in commercial real estate has hit the office sector especially hard. It's been 3 years since developers broke ground on an office building in the Triangle. As the JLL report notes, there are currently no new office buildings under construction in the region. When we're looking at the earliest maybe a building can break ground is early 2026, and that's where you're getting that three-year timeline to build something and then a delivery of early 2029, said JLL Managing Director Kamari Ankenbrand. And that continues to be pushed back as we move along with no new buildings are imminently breaking ground, he said. A significant amount of new Class A space is still available, but it may not be for much longer. The office space at the 301 Hillsborough Tower in downtown Raleigh is fully occupied, and DeWitt Carolinas has said it anticipates filling its office space at 1000 Social at the Exchange Raleigh by the beginning of 2026. Raleigh Ironworks has some office space remaining, while 400H downtown is taking a bit longer to fill up. Overall, Class A vacancy surpassed the 18% mark in the first quarter, and overall office vacancy increased to 17.2% compared to 15.2% the year prior. Office absorption was negative, 331,043 square feet. Leasing activity has picked up, but demand for large spaces, 50,000 square feet or more, remains slim. On top of that, construction costs have soared, and securing financing for office projects would most likely require having pre-leases in hand. In order to afford to pull a building out of the ground, developers would need to list rental rates at 20% higher than the current top-tier asking rents, according to JLL's second quarter report for the Raleigh-Durham market. Rent for top-tier office space is around $50 a square foot. That means new office building pre-leasing rates could hit $65 per square foot. That's the other thing that these lenders are grappling with, is even if they believe the demand is there and the market's getting healthier, there's not data to support that somebody today is going to sign up for a rate at that level, Ankenbrand said. Lenders need to see the market get a little healthier, and they need to see more data to support being willing to capitalize a new office building, and we're not quite there yet. As vacant office space gets absorbed, the hope is that demand, coupled with dwindling supply, will force the hand of developers. However, getting capital for the project might still prove to be difficult, especially with the uncertainty around tariffs and the impact they'll have on construction costs. All of these factors could tip the office market back in favor of landlords as the region runs out of available office space, especially top-tier space. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to A Better World. First article, statewide organ donor crisis deepens. Organ donation group pushes for access as waitlist grows in North Carolina. A public health crisis is brewing in North Carolina as the number of registered organ donors falls and transplant waitlists grow. In 2018, the North Carolina Department of Motor Vehicles issued more than 2 million licenses, with 56.5% registering as organ donors. That share has steadily dropped over the subsequent years to 51.3% last year and 50.2% so far in 2025. Meanwhile, the list of patients waiting for a potential life-saving organ continues to grow. There are more than 4,000 people on the transplant waiting list in North Carolina. Nationally, the number is north of 100,000. There are multiple challenges contributing to the issue, said Danielle Boomarch, CEO of Honor Bridge, an organ transplant organization that works with more than 100 hospitals throughout North Carolina. People don't always have the same touch points with the DMV these days, Boomarch said. Also, there's a lot that has changed in the post-COVID world where some communities have medical mistrust issues. Addressing at least part of the issue involves creating more ways for people to sign up as organ donors, Boomarch said. To that end, the organization is supporting two bills in the General Assembly that would create more ways for people to register. Governor Josh Stein on July 3 signed Senate Bill 600, formerly House Bill 565, into law, allowing people to register as an organ donor through state income tax forms. Lawmakers in the House also passed House Bill 834, which would allow people to register through applications for hunting and fishing licenses, but it did not pass the Senate. In addition to creating more opportunities for people to register, Honor Bridge operates various projects in different communities and partnerships with businesses aimed at educating people on how becoming an organ donor can save lives. If people do not get their transplant, they ultimately do not survive, Boomarch said. Even a dip of 1% or 2%, when you look at how many millions of licenses there are in North Carolina, that costs lives at the end of the day. Habitat breaks ground on new 11-acre project. Habitat for Humanity of Orange County broke ground June 12 on its new project in Hillsborough called Almond Village. The project began when Habitat purchased 10.9 acres not far from downtown off Highway 70A in December 2020. Vertical construction is expected to begin in 2027. According to Habitat, the town of Hillsborough committed $400,000, Orange County committed $800,000, and the State Employees Credit Union Foundation will contribute a $2 million zero-interest loan. Nonprofit that supports animals seeks new leader. A nonprofit that supports animals is looking for a new executive director. Second Chance Pet Adoptions, which supports stray and abandoned cats and dogs, has served the Triangle since 1987. A job posting says the organization is looking for a strategic, empathetic, experienced leader with a proven track record in nonprofits. The projected salary is $100,000 to $115,000. Second Chance Pet Adoptions has a roughly $1 million budget. And finally, 55-year-old Triangle nonprofit files for bankruptcy liquidation. The Triangle Literacy Council has filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy liquidation after 55 years in operation. The nonprofit filed for bankruptcy in June, months after losing its license to solicit donations in North Carolina. Don Hiller, vice chairperson for the nonprofit's board, said the firm just didn't have enough money to keep it going. "We lost a couple sizable donations," he said. "It's just got to be too much." TLC was founded in 1970 by a group of volunteers. The nonprofit provided free tutoring for both adults and children. That included English language classes for immigrants. In 2009, a juvenile literacy center was added to provide training to children referred through the Department of Juvenile Justice. The organization's mission was to advance and support academic, economic, and life success through multifaceted literacy education and life skills training. In its bankruptcy filing, Triangle Literacy Council listed just under $66,000 in assets. Debts identified in the filing add up to nearly $89,000. The organization received millions worth of public and private grants and donations over the years. For its current fiscal year up to the date of the bankruptcy filing, the company listed more than $357,000 in government grants and $31,000 in private grants. For its fiscal 2024, the bankruptcy filing lists $390,000 in government grants. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to our reporter pages, beginning with Lauren Onosorge's page, Transportation and Technology. Raleigh Nix's Six Forks Road revamp. City's decision irks North Hills area businesses who'd hoped for congestion relief. Disappointment was one of the emotions felt by Emil Hartman, executive director of the Midtown Raleigh Alliance, when it became official the city would not proceed with its long-discussed plan to revamp Six Forks Road. Hartman's group represents some of the business owners most affected by the traffic congestion in and out of North Hills, which the project was designed to alleviate. The city had already spent $9 million on plans to widen the road before the city council voted to terminate the project July 1st due to soaring costs. Instead of improving Six Forks, the city wants to use the budgeted money for much smaller projects, such as adding a traffic signal at North Glen Drive. North Hills is a hot commodity in terms of retail, office, and economic development. Tech company Ralliant recently picked North Hills for its 180-job headquarters. Supporters of the project said they had known there were challenges, but more than one business owner said he was surprised at the turn of events. "It's unacceptable that it was killed as a project," Hartman said. "Our hope is that we are not just going to walk away with no plan for the future, because Six Forks expansion is not optional, and the longer we wait, the more expensive it will be." Rising costs were the reason Raleigh officials cited for canceling the project. The original plan, calling for a six-lane road with a median between Rowan Street and Lynn Road, along with bicycle and pedestrian facilities, was initially projected to cost $31.3 million. But as of March of this year, the project's budget had skyrocketed to $93 million, a price that exceeds available funds, according to the city. Joe Malazzo, who leads the Regional Transportation Alliance out of the Raleigh Chamber of Commerce, said the situation is disappointing, frustrating, not at all surprising due to torrid construction inflation. Wolf Speed owes billions to these companies. An analysis of the Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing by Durham semiconductor giant Wolf Speed estimates between 10,000 and 25,000 total creditors. The bankruptcy came down to debt as Wolf Speed took on risky capital in order to fund rapid growth. But product demand fell short as the EV market stalled. Wolf Speed had taken on more than $6.7 billion in liabilities, including more than $3 billion in unsecured convertible notes, with maturity spread across 3 years. With convertible notes, lenders have options to convert the debt into company stock. In Wolf Speed's case, if stock were to rise above the conversion price of those notes, creditors could have converted the debt into shares and profit. But that didn't happen. The five largest creditors: Renesas Electronics Corporation, $2.1 billion, refundable deposit. U.S. Bank N.A., as trustee for convertible notes, $1.8 billion due 2029, $750 million due 2028, and $575 million due 2026. Microsoft Corporation, $15.7 million, trade vendor debt. Trustees of Purdue University, $12.8 million, litigation settlement. And Mersin USA BN Corporation, $6.7 million, trade vendor debt. Regulators approve Breeze nonstop flight. Breeze Airways is continuing its expansion at Raleigh-Durham International Airport with a federally subsidized plan to connect the Triangle to upstate New York. Regulators have approved Breeze's request to launch the new service in exchange for $9 million in federal incentives annually. Breeze currently flies between Ogdensburg, New York, and Washington, D.C., under an Essential Air Service, or EAS, contract with the U.S. Department of Transportation. The program incentivizes airlines to serve communities with limited access to air travel. According to the airline's website, the RDU Ogdensburg service will begin in September, with round-trip fares starting below $100. The plan is for Breeze to operate 3 weekly flights between Ogdensburg and RDU. Ogdensburg is a short drive from Ottawa, Canada, offering North Carolinians another option for accessing Canada. And finally, car dealer sentenced for Ponzi scheme. North Carolina auto dealer Willard Sutton received a 5-year prison sentence for orchestrating a Ponzi-type scheme through his now-bankrupt dealership, Greenville Auto World. Sutton, court filing state, operated a used car dealership that operated a Buy Here, Pay Here program offering on-site financing for those with poor or bad credit. According to federal investigators, Greenville Auto World was initially a legitimate business, but when Sutton ran into financial trouble, he chose to commit a federal crime rather than admit his business was failing, according to James Barnicle Jr., the FBI acting special agent in charge. And now we turn to Kaylee Thompson's page, Real Estate and Development. More homes on tap for North Durham, property to retain natural features with open space and buffers. The True Life Companies of Denver filed site plans with the City of Durham for 44 single-family homes near the Umstead Pines Golf Club. The low-density community is designed to blend with the surrounding neighborhoods and make full use of the property's zoning allowances. The property is zoned residential rural, which allows for up to 1.4 units per acre. The developer is proposing 0.7 units per acre with this project. Lot sizes will range from 0.69 acres to 1.22 acres. David Garaki, the True Life Company's managing director for the Carolinas, said the company is close to finalizing a contract with a home builder. Floor plans and prices have not been set. Garaki anticipates starting site work in fourth quarter 2026, with work on the home starting in 2027. The site will have 18.94 acres of open space and 54.02 acres of tree coverage. 7 Mile Creek runs along the eastern boundary of the site, and the developer is planning large buffers around it. We've been very mindful of the sensitivity of the lay of the land, and we look at working with and designing things that are harmonious with what's the natural features of the place, Garaki said. The community won't have any formal amenities such as a clubhouse. Instead, it will lean on the natural features of the property as open space. The community will be on 68.75 acres at 6208 Craig Road, but the homes will only occupy 38 acres. The property is mostly forested and has an appraised value of $1.19 million. It is owned by Holton Farm, LLC. North Durham is also set to get a Publix-anchored walkable mixed-use community with 176 homes and a luxury home project with 9 homes starting at $650,000. D.R. Horton is planning Eno Village, which will have 382 apartments and townhomes along the Eno River. Raleigh office building sold for $15 million. 8 years after a fire damaged its offices beyond repair, the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners has found a new home in downtown Raleigh. The association has acquired the Reynolds Building at 316 West Edenton Street. The sale price was $15.95 million for the brick building, according to Wake County deed records. The building used to be the headquarters for the Commissioner of Banks before it moved into a smaller space at Smoky Hollow. Kevin Leonard, executive director for NCACC, said the organization will perform renovations to the interior of the building before occupying it. That will take between 18 and 24 months before it can move in. The association chose the property because of its proximity to the North Carolina Legislative Building, a few blocks to the northeast. It also has space to host the group's members. Leonard said he could not share exactly how much space NCACC will occupy, but it is more than the 11,000 square foot space the association is currently operating out of on West Jones Street. Trinity Capital Advisors was the seller. The real estate firm acquired the building in 2020 for $7.9 million, according to Wake County deed records. In 2022, it had the site rezoned to allow for up to 40 stories of development. Carey Oil Firm pays $34 million for Carey Flex buildings. The Carey company that started the Breeze Through chain of gas stations and convenience stores has made a major real estate play. Carey Oil Company paid $34 million for Flex buildings on Weston Parkway in Carey in two separate transactions at the end of June, according to Wake County deed records. The buildings are 100% leased, according to LoopNet. The purchase comes shortly after the company sold all of its Breeze Through locations in the state. The fuel distribution company paid $19.3 million for 14001 Weston Parkway, a flex building with 78,775 square feet of space. Tenants include Scientific Calibration, Cryosphere, and Sci-Ice. It was built in 1998 and is valued at $13.7 million. The building is on 15.87 acres and has surface parking. The company paid $14.7 million for 13,000 Weston Parkway. The single-story building has 57,792 square feet of flex space. And finally, NC Portfolio gets $100 million in refinancing. Charlotte-based Beacon Partners recently refinanced a 12-building portfolio to the tune of $100 million. PGIM Real Estate, a business arm of Prudential Financial, provided the $100 million in fixed-rate financing to Beacon Partners. The refinancing applies to 1.6 million square feet of space between Raleigh and Charlotte. 11 of the buildings are 100% occupied industrial buildings, and one is an industrial outdoor storage property. Beacon Partners refinanced in order to consolidate multiple loans, according to Brian Richards, chief financial officer for Beacon. The company did not disclose which buildings in Raleigh were part of the refinancing. And now we turn to Ben Tobin's page, Greater Triangle. Jacksonville eyed for new project, build-to-rent trend, lands on 17 acres in coastal community. A real estate investment and development firm is looking to make a splash in a coastal town by constructing a built-to-rent community. The Cape Companies of Massachusetts, working with New York-based real estate firm JK Equities, is planning more than 70 single-family homes off Rocky Run Road east of downtown Jacksonville in Onslow County. The neighborhood will be called The Cape at Jacksonville. The firms are targeting mid-2026 for initial unit deliveries, according to Matthew Alfonso, a principal and co-founder of the Cape Companies. The development is near the Camp Lejeune Marine Corps base. Alfonso declined to comment on construction costs and rental rates. A group that lists Alfonso as a member, Jacksonville BTR Owner LLC, purchased the roughly 17 acres the community will sit on for $600,000, according to Onslow County deed records. We built the Cape at Sandy Neck in Fayetteville, just outside of Fort Bragg, which we still own and operate, Alfonso said. This project in Jacksonville will be very similar. Our mission with our built-to-rent verticals is to provide high-quality and differentiated rental housing options for military families and the surrounding civilian population. Per listings on Apartments.com, monthly rental rates for single-family homes at the Cape at Sandy Neck range from $1,850 to $1,975. Build-to-rent communities have been trending in the Triangle as developers seek to offer variety in the housing market, which has cooled off in recent years due to higher prices and elevated mortgage rates, leaving many potential buyers on the sidelines. Founded in 2019, the Cape Companies has a portfolio that consists of projects in both Massachusetts and North Carolina. Pinehurst facility to see upgrades after sale. A private, not-for-profit healthcare network headquartered in Pinehurst has acquired a local medical office building for a large price tag. First Health of the Carolinas recently bought a medical office building at 30 Memorial Drive in Pinehurst for $5.75 million, according to Moore County deed records. Pinehurst Radiology Associates, the previous occupant of the building, closed earlier this year after a cyber attack in January, according to reporting in the Pilot newspaper. Gretchen Kelly, a spokeswoman for First Health, said the provider intends to reopen the facility. First Health plans to reopen the clinic and offer imaging services, including 3D mammography, ultrasound, and bone density testing, Kelly said. We are currently working through the regulatory requirements and related timelines. Founded in 1995, First Health of the Carolinas has 6,300 employees that serve over 15 counties in central North Carolina. Per the company's website, it has four hospitals with 546 beds. Treatments at the company range from cancer care to hospice and more. Commercial real estate in Pinehurst, as well as Southern Pines and Aberdeen, is a hot commodity as the region grows. New DG Market sells for millions to local investor. Wilson's Mills Holding LLC purchased the DG Market, located at 3980 Wilson's Mills Road in Wilson's Mills, for around $2.6 million, according to Johnston County deed records. The LLC, according to Secretary of State filings, lists John Tucker, Vice President of Operations at Associated Contract Services of Fuquay-Varina Arena, as a member. It's a high-traffic location serving a rapidly growing community that we're familiar with, Tucker said. First launched in 2003, DG Market is the grocery division of Dollar General, offering fresh produce, dairy, and meats for customers. In total, Dollar General operates more than 20,000 locations across the country. Tucker has other active investments in the region. Earlier this year, he submitted a rezoning application for roughly 8.5 acres off the intersection of US 401 and Rawls Church Road on the Harnett County side of Fuquay-Varina. And our last article, multifamily project takes step forward. Raleigh-based Dominion Realty Partners has broken ground on Tramway Place Apartments, a 300-unit multifamily development at the intersection of U.S. Highway 1 and Tramway Road in Sanford. The real estate firm announced plans for the project in 2023 after it had acquired the roughly 24-acre site for $1.85 million. At that time, the company said, the apartment community would include amenities such as resort-style pool and green activity lawn, automated package delivery system, state-of-the-art exercise facility with interactive fitness class studio, and a club game room. Dominion Realty is partnering with New York-based asset management firm Blue Rock on the project. And now we turn to Zach Ezone's page, Healthcare and Life Sciences, UNC Health to build MRI Center. Health System is the only provider of MRI services in Nash County. UNC Health Nash wants to develop a freestanding diagnostic center at a new medical office in Middlesex. The center will support multiple clinical service lines at the building, which will house adult internal medicine and pediatric physician practices. The project site is also near fast-growing Wendell and Zebulon in eastern Wake County. Nash Imaging LLC, a subsidiary of UNC Health Nash, filed an application for the project in June in response to the 2025 State Medical Facilities Plan, which called for one new MRI scanner in Nash County. UNC Health Nash is not facing any competition as no other medical providers filed an application. UNC Health Nash earlier this year began construction on a seven-story, 150-bed tower at Nash General Hospital in Rocky Mount. The project is expected to cost around $140 million, with the tower expected to open in late 2020. The plan is to develop the MRI at a medical office building under construction at 7620 Middlesex Corporate Parkway. According to the filed building permit, the building will be 24,018 square feet and cost about $11 million. UNC Health Nash is the only MRI services provider in Nash County, where it owns and operates two hospital-based scanners. Developing MRI services outside of the hospital would introduce lower-cost imaging services in Nash County and create capacity at the two existing hospital-based scanners, according to the application. The MRI project is expected to cost about $3.49 million, with about half of the cost attributable to medical equipment. UNC Health Nash expects the freestanding MRI could generate more than $10 million in total gross revenue and $610,631 in net income in its first full year, full fiscal year. UNC Health Nash expects the MRI scanner to be operational by July 2027. UNC Health Nash plans to fund the MRI project with cash and accumulated reserves per the application. Pelthos Therapeutics eyes product launch. The Triangle has added another public company as a Durham biopharmaceutical firm completes its multi-million dollar merger. Shares for Pelthos Therapeutics began trading July 2nd following its merger with Channel Therapeutics, giving Pelthos additional capital as it prepares to launch its lead product. The company also announced its plan to launch its lead project, ZELSUVMI, a topical gel. ZELSUVMI, and that's spelled ZELSUVMI, is the first FDA-approved prescription product that can be used at home to treat molluscum contagiosum. Other existing options require treatments and procedures done in a physician's office. Since reaching the merger agreement in April, Pelthos has ramped up its hiring to support a commercial launch. The company earlier this year had around 30 employees and now has about 95 people, with 20% of its headcount in North Carolina, according to a Pelthos spokesperson. Ligand Pharmaceuticals formed Pelthos last year around assets acquired through the 2023 bankruptcy of former Durham company Novan, including the topical gel later branded as ZELSUVMI. Pelthos is occupying Novan's former facility on Stirrup Creek Drive, where the active ingredient for the treatment is manufactured. UNC leads $28 million breast cancer trial. UNC Chapel Hill is leading a large clinical trial evaluating new ways to treat breast cancer through a federal award worth up to $28 million. The UNC Lineberger Comprehensive Cancer Center secured the award from the federal government's Advanced Research Projects Agency for Health, or ARPA-H. UNC is leading the breast cancer portion of a larger $142 million precision cancer therapy program at ARPA-H. The award comes as UNC faces substantial cuts to research funding. The federal government has terminated more than 100 projects at UNC since the beginning of the year. Federal cuts to research funding have upended budgets at colleges and universities across the country, casting a cloud on the economic landscape for drug development. For the ARPA-H project, researchers are evaluating a new way of treating patients with metastatic breast cancer by adapting treatment plans in near real time in response to how a patient's cancer is evolving. And finally, NC eases restrictions on vital health care. House Bill 67, recently signed into law by Governor Josh Stein, introduces workforce reforms related to the role of physician assistants and how internationally trained physicians can receive licenses. Previously, state law was very prescriptive regarding the relationship between physicians' assistants and physicians, said Meg Beal, a physician assistant at Atlantic Reproductive Medicine in Raleigh. The new law eliminates some of the limitations around how experienced physician assistants with at least 4,000 clinical hours can practice. Previously, a PA would have to wait for a physician to sign specific patient forms, even though the PA was primarily caring for the patient. This would often lead to delays in care. And now we turn to Kate Tracy's page, Retail and Restaurants. Raleigh Artist now plans cafe, dog park, dog-friendly coffee shop to be paired with 10,000-square-foot park on Lenore Street. A well-known artist in Raleigh is behind plans for a cafe and dog park in the Boylan Heights neighborhood. The Yard, a cafe with an off-leash dog park, is coming to 1115 West Lenore Street, according to its website and permits filed with the City of Raleigh. The Yard's website shows a 10,000-square-foot dog park in the fenced-in yard that will include a pet wash station. The dog park will operate under a membership model, according to the Yard's website. Taylor White is the applicant for the project, a prolific studio artist and muralist. White has created art for many clients in the Triangle, including Hyatt Hotels, Microsoft, and Kane Realty Group, according to her website. Her art studio is near the site for the cafe and dog park. White did not return requests for comment. Trustees of the White family own the property at 1115 West Lenore Street, according to property records. The cafe will feature local and organic ingredients on its menu. Permits filed with the city indicate the establishment will change from its former use as an art studio and office to a coffee shop that sells food. Construction includes adding partitions, ADA-compliant restrooms, a coffee bar, and an outdoor deck. Moore Architecture is the architect on the project. Other nearby eateries include Bolted Bread, Heights House Hotel, and Sam Jones BBQ. The Bike Library, a coffee and bike shop, is a new tenant at Kane Realty's platform development, and Sauna House plans to open at 324 DuPont Circle. Dog-friendly establishments are becoming popular in the Triangle. Barking Dog NYC is opening in North Hills. Smoky Hollow is home to West Street Dog, a bar with a dog park, boarding house, and daycare for dogs. The downtown Cary Park also has a membership-based dog park with the adjacent Bark Bar. New Mexican restaurant coming to Cary spot. Delia Clovecorn opened Mish Cochina Mexicana at 3470 Kildare Farm Road in Cary. The restaurant is next to the Publix grocery store in the Mill Pond Village Shopping Center, south of the Coca Booth Amphitheater. It took me almost 2 years trying to get that location because the market is pretty tough, and it's our first restaurant and a new concept, so it was a competitive market, Clovecorn said. She was drawn to the space because it's in a residential area and overlooks a pond. The 3,266-square-foot restaurant can seat 90 people inside and 60 outside. Its former restaurant tenant was Frida's Patio. Clovecorn said securing the location was one of the more challenging parts of opening the restaurant. Neapolitan Pizza comes to Fayetteville Street. The restaurant owner behind a number of Triangle eateries is opening Valachi Italian Market this fall in City Plaza at 443 Fayetteville Street in a standalone restaurant space owned by Highwoods Properties. It was formerly occupied by Happy and Hale. Anthony Rapio signed a lease 2 years ago across the street from the Valachi space in the former Sir Walter Raleigh Hotel, where he plans to open a speakeasy. In 2023, Fayetteville Street was a ghost town, he said. Now it's a different story with more office workers downtown and the city of Raleigh investing in improved streetscapes. Rapio owns V Pizza in Briar Creek in Cary. Originally from New York, Rapio had a vision to replicate the small Italian markets that are one-stop shops for Italian food. The restaurant will also serve wings, sandwiches, and to-go pasta, sauce, and other Italian food items. On the beverage side, Valachi will serve cocktails, beer, and more. And finally, local businesses slammed by Chantel floods. Flash flooding that tore through parts of the Triangle on July 6 left destruction in its wake for residents and business owners alike, including retailers at the normally busy Eastgate Crossing Shopping Center at East Franklin Street and Highway 501 in Chapel Hill. Among them is Kippo's Greek Taverna, which is closed indefinitely after floodwaters caused significant damage. Prolific restaurateur Georgios Bakatsias, owner of Georgios Hospitality, said no one was hurt in the flood, but images posted to social media hinted at a lengthy cleanup. And today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties with its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina. Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Triangle Business Journal. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. And if you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138.